Greetings and welcome to Mimbar. Among the Abrahamic religions, there is the belief in the coming of a savior before the final days of the world. The Christians have Jesus, the Jews have the Messiah, and the Muslims have the Mahdi, the guided one. The coming of the Mahdi occurs when, as the transmitted traditions say, when the earth is filled with justice and oppression, and there will be widespread deviations among humanity from their natural dispositions. For example, men will dress like women and women like men. Children will dominate their parents and rulers will lie to and exploit their people. The coming of the Mahdi, the righter of wrongs, the establisher of justice, is no doubt a source of solace and a pillar of religion for many. But it also raises many questions, mainly because of the eschatological nature of the subject. Today, we are going to raise some of these questions and find answers for them with our guest, Hujjatul Islam, Sheikh Hamid Reza Salarkia. Sheikh Salarkia, once again, welcome to Mimbar, and we're really glad to have you back.
Thank you very much.
First of all, I'd like to ask this question about this Mahdi, or the universal savior. Is it universal? Do other religions have this particular tradition among them?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadan wa alihi al-Tahirin wa sahbihi al-Muntajabin. Thank you very much for your invitation for the second time. I'm very happy to be here and to have been interviewed by you regarding these pleasant and interesting topics that you have chosen.
You're welcome.
Human being is looking for and searching for a ideal time, an ideal life in which he can be enjoying peace of mind, tranquility, justice, equity, prosperity. But we see that by passing the time, we see when we go back to the history and when we compare it with the present time, we see that these things have not ended. Rather, they have been increased. So the science progresses and is developed, but the tranquility is not achieved. The science is developed, but the peace of mind is not obtained. The prosperity is not gained. So when we look at the universe, different countries, and in a total glance, we understand that the human being is suffering from lack of peace, from lack of peace of mind, from lack of justice, from lack of tranquility. So regardless of any nation or any color and geographical differences, is looking and yearning for a person to come and to save them, for a savior, as you mentioned. And this yearning for a savior, this wish is a shared wish for all human and for all mankind.
So now, is this reflected in religions, for example, outside of the Abrahamic tradition, the religion of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism? Is this type of yearning or expectation of a savior reflected in any other religions?
Yes, of course. It is reflected in many religions, either Abrahamic or non-Abrahamic. For example, in Buddhism, the people and the followers of the Buddha are waiting for Maitreya. Mm-hmm. And in
who's Maitreya?
Maitreya is a savior, mm-hmm. a prophet or something like this, to come and to save them. And when we refer to Hinduism, in the age of Kali Yuga, as they say, the avatar will come and will save them. And the avatar is the savior to save the Hindus from these miserable conditions that I mentioned, or is shared between among all people. Mm-hmm. And in Judaism, we see that there is expectation for the appearance or of coming of Messiah. And in Christianity, we say that the followers of Jesus Christ are expecting the reappearance of Jesus. And when we refer to Islam, we see that very explicitly and clearly this notion is mentioned in Islam. And there are some Quranic verses that shows us this, that such a thing is has its origin in the religious scripture, in the Holy Quran.
So all of these religions have an element of expectation of a savior to come.
Exactly, so? Yes. This feeling is shared among all religions. Mm-hmm. But the name of the Savior differs. Mm-hmm. But we do not dispute about the name. Right. But the notion is the same notion. Right. A person that has the power, enough knowledge, enough ability to come and save the world, and emancipate the mankind from the miserable injustice and tyranny that right. the mankind is suffering from.
Now, with all of these saviors, we have a Hindu savior, we have a Buddhist savior, we have a Jewish savior, we have a Christian savior, we have a Muslim savior. Are they all different people? Are they the same people? How do we choose?
You know, as there are different languages referring to the same object. For example, the same object is grape, but the Arab call it anab, and the Persian call it angur, and the like. So The goal is the same. The person should be the same, mm-hmm. but the way to reach it is different. Mm-hmm. So when the people, the followers of different religions talk about the Savior is one person.
Right.
You know, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that has created the world, the universe, is one Lord, one Creator, and all the mankinds are His creatures and servants, and these creatures and servants are suffering from the same miserable conditions. Right. They are expecting for coming the same Savior to save them. You know, I think, and in my opinion, or when we refer to the different religion, we can come to the conclusion that the Savior is one.
They're not expecting the same person.
Yes, when he reappears, the Jews says this is the Messiah that mm-hmm. has come, and the Muslims say this is Al-Mahdi that has come, mm-hmm. and the followers of other religions say, yes, this is the same person that we were expecting, and we were yearning for his appearance or reappearance.
Right. It's very interesting, because now we're talking about this idea of expectation among religious people. I have seen among non-religious people, they still have this sense of expectation. You know, for example, you hear largely in the West, they're waiting for them. You know, they say them to, for example, solve certain problems of the world. They're waiting for science, you know, to solve certain problems of the world, which means that their savior is science, or their savior is the system, the governmental, social system. You know, that tends to be...
This also confirms that such a feeling is imprinted in the nature of mankind. Mm-hmm. Take as an example, if there was no food, in reality, we would not be hungry. If there was no water and drink, in reality, we would not be thirsty. If there was no, reproduction. Right. There was no signs of inclination between two sexes.
Right.
So all of these shows that these realities exist, and those feelings have been imprinted in the nature of mankind. If a savior, coming of a savior, an appearance or reappearance of a savior would not happen, such a shared feeling would not be existing in all humankind, mm-hmm. regardless of being religious or non-religious, right. as you mentioned here. Yes, religious people have their own reference to the people that have been introduced by the prophets to come, and non-religious people have the same meaning, have the same, you know, the feel of hunger is available. Maybe it can be fulfilled by eating mud. You know, a baby is, when is hungry, it consumes whatever is available. Maybe it consumes mud or garbage or something else. The feeling is correct, but fulfilling and meeting the feeling, meeting the need, needs, how to say, guidance.
Yes.
And the prophets have come to guide the human being, the mankind, that yes, the feeling that you have is a correct one. The need that you have is a correct and natural need. The fulfillment of this need is in this way.
Right. Now, who is the Mahdi from the Islamic point of view? Who is the Mahdi and what is his function?
Yes. Regarding the person, Mahdi in person, in Islamic tradition, we have many traditions referring to the person in particular. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad, was quoted as saying, even if it shows some circumstances of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi,
right,
even if the entire duration of the world's existence has already been exhausted and only one day is left before the Day of Judgment, God will expand that day to such a length that times as to accommodate the kingdom of a person from my household. A person from my household. This shows that Mahdi is from the household of the Prophet, who will be called by my name. He bears the name of the Prophet, that is, his name is Muhammad, and will fill the earth with justice and as it has been filled with injustice and tyranny.
All right.
So the Mahdi is from the household of the Prophet. And in other traditions, we have that he is from the progeny of Fatima. Right. Fatima to Zahra, the beloved daughter of the Prophet.
And this is something universal between both Shias and Sunnis. Both of them agree that they are from the
Fatima. Yes, yes. This is totally agreed by the Sunni and the Shia that Mahdi is from the Ahlul Bayt, from the household of the Prophet, and that he is from the progeny of Fatima to Zahra. Let me refer to two references. The Prophet was quoted as saying that Al-Mahdi will be of my family, of the descendants of Fatima. This is mentioned in Sunan Abi Dawood, Kitab Al-Mahdi, and Sunan Ibn Majah, Kitab Al-Fitan. And these references that I mentioned here are among two major references of tradition among the Sunni
Muslims. Okay, so what's the function of the Mahdi?
Yes, as it has been mentioned in numerous traditions, both narrated through Sunni and Shia, his function is to come to fill the earth with justice as it has been filled with injustice and tyranny.
Okay.
So, filling the earth with justice and spreading justice is the main function and mission of Al-Mahdi.
Of the Mahdi. Now, for such an important role and such an important historical occasion, one would expect the idea of the Mahdi to be reflected in the Quran. Is there any Quranic, are there any Quranic verses that hint or point towards this?
Yes, there are some references in the Holy Quran. One is in chapter 21, verse 105. The Holy Quran says, "We have written in the Psalms the reminder, my honorable servants shall inherit the earth." وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورَ بَعْدَ مِنْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. So this talks about the inheritage of the earth by the Salihun, the honorable servants of God, the righteous servants of God.
Yes.
According to the commentaries of this very verse, it refers to the notion of the idea Al-Mahdi.
Right.
Al-Mahdi is the how to say, inheritor of the earth.
Right. But they mentioned the righteous ones, salihun. It's plural.
Yes, it is. Yes, a general. Yes. But when we refer to the commentaries of the Quran and the traditions narrated from the Holy Prophet, asking about, he was asked about who is that salihun.
I see.
Then we can find the in the answer that this salihun is Mahdi and his followers that save the world from injustice and tyranny.
Okay, we say that one of the conditions for the coming of the Mahdi is that the earth will be filled with injustice and oppression. There are some people who think that if we want the Mahdi to come, then we should not resist injustice and oppression. We should encourage it, because the more we encourage it, the most likely it will be that he will come. What's your point of view about this type of logic?
Yes, a good question, or a remarkable doubt in this regard. Actually, it is the result of a misconception. Uh-huh. It is a result of misconception. The traditions talking about the reappearance of Al-Mahdi do not put injustice and tyranny as a condition for reappearance of the Imam, of the Savior. Rather, it is something natural that in such a condition, in such a circumstances, the Savior will come.
Uh-huh. It's not a condition.
No, it is a condition. Mm-hmm. But it is natural. It is natural that in the in such a miserable circumstances, the mankind feels helplessness more than ever. Mm. In such a circumstances, the need to Mahdi is much more crucial for the mankind. It is not at all a condition. It is something coincidence. It is like something coincident, not a condition. In addition, in many traditions, we have another wording in this regard. The Al-Mahdi will come and will reappear and will fill the earth with justice as it has been filled with injustice and tyranny. As it means the way that Al-Mahdi follows to fill the earth with justice is almost the same way it has been filled with injustice. How? You know, if you want to eradicate the injustice from the world, what do you do? Do you fight with the armies of the tyrant powers? Or the better solution is to remove the power from its base. You understand what I mean? Let me give you an example. Suppose that a musical group, yes, with the order their leader, go at the midnight, go around in the city and in the localities and beat their drums, heavy drums, and make a big noise. How to release the people from these noisy circumstances. Mm. The better way is how this noise have been created and spread because of the order of that music leader, for example, and the following of these people, these players. So you go to that person, order him to stop it, other it will be dismissed or the like. Order your troops or your men to stop it. Yes?
Right.
And when such a thing happened, the calmness will come and tranquility will be achieved. When Al-Mahdi comes, goes towards those who have caused the tyranny and have caused injustice, will fight with them. And when he fights with them, will, destroy them. Mm. So suppose an army without a leader, without a commander, that army is not that much dangerous. The members of the army, or the members or the individuals of a nation, are not considered the enemies of mankind. The enemies of mankind are the rulers, the false rulers, the tyrant governors, that they exploit the power and the energy and the forces of the nation in satanic and evil ways. Al-Mahdi will come and fight with the heads
right.
and the tops.
Right. Now, He will come and fight them. Now we're talking about a universal system of oppression that he's fighting.
Pardon?
We're talking about a universal system of oppression that he's fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not talking about him fighting just one country, right? We're talking about him fighting or rectifying a universal system.
Mm-hmm.
He needs a lot of help.
Yes, of course. He needs a lot of help. And there are very many people to accept his invitation and to go towards him.
Mm-hmm.
When he first reappears, he will go according to the tradition, will go to Mecca and will stand in front of Kaaba and will shout that I am Al-Mahdi, I am Baqiyatullah that has been expected. And immediately some 313 people, very, very high and VIP commanders will be gathered around him. Yes.
Uh-huh.
And within three days, some 10,000 lower level commanders will support him, and then he will start his mission. You may ask how he can make his voice reach to the world. How can the mankind understand, be informed that Mahdi has reappeared, the awaited Mahdi and the promised Mahdi, the promised savior has come?
Okay, well, this is a very important question. Mm-hmm. Let's hold that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a news break and we'll be right back. How will the Mahdi get his message across to all over the world? Stay tuned. Welcome back. And we are talking with Sheikh Hujjatul Islam Salar Kiyah on the topic of the universal savior or the Mahdi, myth or reality. And we touched on a very interesting point that the Mahdi, while in Mecca, would issue a universal call, a call all over the world for those who are his supporters to gather with him in Mecca in a very short period of time. How will he do this? And this is where we stop, and we want to pursue this question. How will he do this? How will he issue this call that everyone in one instant will hear his call and join him in Mecca in a very short period of time?
Yes, it is very interesting, I think, for you and our audience to know that according to the many of the traditions, the knowledge and the science, knowledge in general, has been divided into 27 divisions. Before the time of reappearance of Al-Mahdi, only two out of these 27 will have been discovered to the mankind.
These 27 parts of knowledge, scientific knowledge.
Yes, exactly.
And right now we're only dealing with maybe two or less
yes,
of the 27 parts.
Okay. So far we are below the two out of 27
mm-hmm.
parts and parts of knowledge, yes. When he comes, he will let the people know the rest of the knowledge.
Right.
Then it will be a fantastic change.
Yes.
Let's refer back to our recent history, you know, computer, for example. Before 1939, that computer was invented, do you think that the people could imagine that a big library of thousands of books can be stored in a very memory chip?
Mm-hmm. A small memory chip
containing 10 gigabytes or more.
Right.
It was not imaginable for them to understand this, even to imagine. But, you know, passing half a century, such a great change took place. And about cell phones, you know, there were some time when Alexander Graham Bell invented telephone, could he imagine that this will be, evolved to a level that can be cell phone without wire, without any, You know.
So how would these people get this message? How would these people hear him?
Okay.
How would they hear him?
Yes. If you accept this, that the fractions of knowledge that will be revealed after reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi by him is that much enormous and great, then it will be solved that it is possible for Imam Mahdi to talk in Mecca and all individuals in the world, regardless of their geographical place or their language, can see him directly. Right. And can understand his message in their own language, in their mother tongue.
So how do the traditions describe it? How do the traditions describe them seeing him and hearing him?
Yes, you know, the traditions, believe me, that the people at the time of the Prophet, even if the traditions have been described, they could not understand.
Right.
They could not digest
right.
such things. Yes, what we can find in the traditions is that the condition of Al-Mahdi is in such a way that the knowledge becomes perfect and complete. The all branches of knowledge will be revealed to the mankind and introduced to the mankind.
But this is after he sets up his system. What I want to do is just stick on him getting these followers to Mecca before he starts his system. Okay? What do the traditions say about the people hearing him?
It really is a miraculous act.
Yes.
It is a miraculous act.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the Mahdi is not an ordinary person.
Yes.
It is a savior that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has saved for a moment that he decides for him to reappear. And such an important person, supported by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and gifted with endless knowledge and endless power,
right,
has his own means to, yes, to convey
because
his message.
Because you know, what I was thinking about, for example, in Islamic mysticism, right, mm-hmm, you have this concept of what we call tahiyul arz.
Yes.
You know, crossing the earth, traversing mm-hmm the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have something similar in other religions, right, but it's not the same, right? For example, you have the concept of astral traveling, you know, where you... an aspect of yourself mm-hmm leaves your body and it goes anywhere in the world and it can see whatever it can see or whatever, but it's in a spiritual form. It can't interact with physical things.
Yes.
But in Islamic mysticism, you know, you have this whole concept of tahiyul arz, where, for example, I can take one step right now here and I end up in wherever I wanted to go, Paris,
yeah,
Canada, the United States, and so on. You know, and some of these hadith, you know, they talk about, for example, people, when he calls them, they appear immediately
yes
in Mecca. Mm-hmm. And then it says that some of them travel on the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Do these things, first of all, indicate a certain level of scientific, if you want to put that word, knowledge, and also the role of mysticism, the Islamic tradition itself, Islamic practice, Islamic spiritual practice, the role of Islamic spiritual practice in achieving his goals?
According to some traditions, the term tayyul arz that you
yes
mentioned, that the earth is rolled up beneath the feet of the person, and so that he can, go a long distance in a second of time.
Right.
Yes, such thing has been mentioned in the traditions regarding the 313 chief commander of Al-Mahdi,
right,
and maybe regarding the 10,000, the first group containing 10,000 loyal people that go to Mecca at the first time within 3 days. Within
right
3 days. But regarding the rest of the people, you know that there is a big conflict between the right and the wrong, between the justice and injustice. At that time, the people who were waiting for Al-Mahdi, ordinary people, go towards the place that to meet with the Imam.
Mm.
Those people do not use miraculous,
means
or the like.
Right.
But, using the miraculous means for the Imam and for the special
the
commanders, yes, the heads and the leads, is something very easy for Al-Mahdi
right
and his...
And I think,
to do their global mission that is saving the earth.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we could understand it psychologically, you know, because I remember two movies, mm-hmm. right? And I don't want to make this, a commentary on movies, but there are two movies. One is the movie Dune. In this movie Dune, they're talking about like space travel, you know, mm-hmm. and they're talking about folding space. You know, for example, space, It takes, 180,000 light years, for example, to reach from one galaxy to another, mm-hmm. you know, which is something impractical for the human lifespan, mm-hmm. you know. But if you can fold space, it makes that connection easier, mm-hmm. you know. And they're talking about having the technology to fold space. And when we look at, for example, relativity theory, space is curved. Space is a thing. You know, and space can have a warp in it. Space can be altered. You know, so there's a possibility.
Yeah.
You see? And then we have the movie Matrix, which is very popular, where they're all waiting for a sort of a Mahdi figure, mm-hmm. you know, which goes back to the whole idea of it being present in the nature of man. Now, this brings me then, now while we're on the topic of science and so forth, mm-hmm. this brings me then to the question of the system of the Mahdi. Okay?
Yes.
The system of the Mahdi. Is the system of the Mahdi, the system that the Mahdi creates...
His government, you mean?
His government. Mm. Not just his government, his system.
Yeah.
The way people live, the science and the environment, you know, the means that people use to live, mm-hmm. you know, how they exploit the wealth of the world and so forth. You know, the system of the Mahdi. Is the system of the Mahdi... an evolution of this system, or is it something entirely different?
As I mentioned before, when the science, the old branches of science, unknown sciences, right. are revealed, then exploiting the earth and the under earth treasury becomes very easy.
All the treasures under the earth.
Yes. So all the things that are required for man's prosperity are gathered or mm-hmm. are collected. Wealth, treasury, money, etc., etc. This is one thing. Another thing is that the Imam practices justice. So all mankind are gifted with the capabilities and abilities and properties that they deserve. None is deprived of his rights. Nobody. None is deprived of his rights, and all people, except those who fight with the Imam and are destroyed, the rest of the world, that are the majority of the people, the rest of the world enjoy justice. Mm-hmm. And all practice their religious duties. And when they practice their religious duties, they discharge their religious duties, they pay zakat, almsgiving. Alms are gathered, accommodated in a place, but since the just proportion of wealth among the mankind, no poor are found to receive this zakat. Mm-hmm. So poverty is eradicated. When poverty is eradicated from the world, then tranquility is substituted.
Right.
Tranquility is substituted, and justice is substituted. And the Imam leads the nation, improves their knowledge and their understanding, and they enjoy an ideal life full of justice, brotherhood, tranquility, peace of mind, love to each other, total submission to Allah the Creator, closeness and proximity to its utmost level to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So all live in peace. Mm. All enjoy justice. The time of Al-Mahdi is so much sweet that even the imams of the household of the Prophet and the Prophet himself yearn for. And when Al-Mahdi comes, he does not sign any treaty with a tyrant, will not make any contract with an oppressor. Oppressor should leave his oppression, otherwise will be killed. When oppression is eradicated, uprooted, when justice is widespread in the world, then the talent, tendencies of the mankind will blossom. And when the mind is free of disturbance, the whole power is used to follow the good teachings and the good instructions of Al-Mahdi in order to reach the perfection that was the main goal of creation.
Would you say that then the government of the Mahdi is the ideal Islamic government?
It is the wish of all mankind.
Yes. No, not the wish. I'm saying the government of the Mahdi. Mm-hmm. Would you say that this would be the ideal Islamic government?
We can say so.
You can say so. Mm-hmm. Why I ask this question, right, is that, for example, there are some Muslims who think that the government of the Prophet in the time of Medina was the ideal Islamic government, right? And this itself has a very profound effect upon how they want to structure their society. From this, you have certain types of tendencies, okay, that go back to Arabia in the 7th century, which may not be appropriate for this time. Mm-hmm. You see? Now, why do some of these people look at the time of the Prophet to be the ideal Islamic government, when at that time there still were, for example, hypocrites, there were still enemies to fight, there were still a lot of different problems that beset that society, and you were saying that they, the Prophet, and the members of the Ahlul Bayt, thought about living in the time of the Mahdi as the best time to live in. What do you have? Do you have any comments about that in terms of ideal, in terms of comparing the time of the Mahdi, the government of the Mahdi, and the time of the Prophet in Medina? Which one is the more ideal?
Actually, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last and the seal of the prophets. After him, no prophet will come. Prophecy
right.
finished.
Right.
And it is explicitly mentioned in the Holy Quran. He is the Khatam al-Nabiyyin, is the seal of the prophet.
Right.
So his mission is to bring the most perfect religion.
Okay.
And he has done. Prophet Muhammad has brought the most perfect religion for the mankind. But all the instructions or the teachings of the religion have been practiced at the time of the Prophet. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have enough time in order to practice to let all the mankind, all the followers of Islam, to practice them? Yes, right. There are. You know, the rule, the law is perfect.
Right.
We have no objection about the law that the Prophet brought. It was perfect. It was full. And complete. Without any complete. Without any deficiencies and shortcoming. But this law should be practiced. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at his time practiced it to some extent. But he had challenges with the hypocrites, as you mentioned. He had challenges with the idol worshippers. He had challenges for the oppressors. He had challenges for the people who were deprived from their rights. But what is the difference between the time of Al-Mahdi and the time of the Prophet is that the Prophet's mission was to bring the most perfect revelation and religion, but the mission of Al-Mahdi is to save mankind regardless of their religion, regardless of their particular condition, to save them from injustice right. and tyranny by means of practicing the teachings of the Prophet.
All right. So what could you say then the Prophet brought the perfect blueprint?
And what is it?
Blueprint, yani design.
Design.
The perfect blueprint for the perfect society. Mm-hmm. But he himself did not get the opportunity,
mm-hmm. yes.
in terms of the time and the conditions,
yes.
to reflect that perfection. But the Mahdi mm-hmm. using that blueprint, has the time and the opportunity to perfect that and to realize it. Would you say that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think we can reach to this conclusion. Yeah. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, despite his day and night effort, we cannot say that the talents and the tendencies of all mankind has blossomed, have been blossomed.
Right.
Yes, but at the time of Al-Mahdi, this will happen. One more thing is that Al-Mahdi will not bring a new religion. But many people judge that this, the thing that Al-Mahdi is saying and instructing and teaching, is a new religion. It shows that how much the teachings of the Prophet have been changed or have been misunderstood, because there is no connection between us and the Prophet to ask him or to, correct our behavior, to correct our practices and the like. When he comes, he will refresh the very same teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will offer the very authentic and genuine interpretation of the Holy Quran. He will not bring something new in comparison with what the Prophet has brought. He will refresh, and this refreshment, this practicing the whole and the entire teachings of the Prophet, needs first of all perfect knowledge, second, perfect power, and third, perfect will.
Right. Now, one major group of among Muslims, the Shia, say that the Mahdi has been born already. He was born about over a thousand years ago, and he's still alive today.
Yes.
Now, to the ears of a modernist thinker, this seems to be impossible. Mm-hmm. How could we defend this? What is the point of view of the scholars on this, that the Mahdi is alive for 1,000 years? Is this unusual?
Yes, it is unusual. It is unusual. It is something very strange. But being strange is not does not necessarily mean that it is impossible. Yes, it is unlikely. There are many things that have been unlikely during the course of the history, but they took place.
Right.
For example, flying in the air. Was it possible? We cannot talk about possibility. It is possible, but unlikely. But the man could manage to invent airplanes and fly in the air.
Right.
And the memory stick that I mentioned for you, the great change in the world of computer and the like.
Scientifically, is it possible? Or biologically, is it possible for somebody to live
over
1,000 years? Exactly,
yes. Scientifically, it is possible for humankind to prolong his life. You know, what is death? First of all, and this is a scientific, matter. The scientists are analyzing the life and the death. Death means lack of proper nutrition, lack of proper treatment, lack of so and so. If we get rid of this lack, then we can prolong. So for example, you see in the scientific journals that person died because of consuming food,
or something.
Yes, poisoned food or decayed food and the like, or that person ate too much, and so it caused death for him. Oh, that person suffered from starving, hunger, so it causes his death. Or some disease. What is disease? Disease are this disturbance.
And some people say old age is a disease. Old age is a sickness, and that
it can be cured. Yes, of course. You know, these scientists have not lost their hope for prolonging the age of humans.
Right. So it is possible to have
It is possible. If it was not possible, it was wasting the time of the scientists to spend time in this way. So it is unlikely. I accept that this is unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not impossible. And there is a big difference between these two terms.
Right.
Impossibility and unlikelihood.
Right. And I want to thank you very much for joining us on Minbar. Remember, if you have any comments or criticisms, please write us at mimbar@presstv.ir. That's mimbar@presstv.ir. I want to thank you, Sheikh Salarkia, for joining us again, and I hope you pay us another visit for another enlightening and interesting discussion on Mimbar.